Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wilford sets off upfield. He wants a speedster to run onto it. He might be the quickest. Oh, he kicks. He kicks ahead. And now Corey Oates will come. Oh, Oates with the one-handed pickup. How about that? Asako in behind them. He's confused. He didn't know whether to kick or whether to run. He takes the runner option. Jermaine Asako will score. Run straight around them, down the wing, comes back inside, this is electric, this is Jimmy the Jet, and he's absolute best!
Oh, wow. Wow.
Hello, Broncos fans, and welcome to this week's episode of Broncos Quarterly. I'm Mitch, as always, and joining us down the line, I'm terrible at the intro now. It's been so long. Our good friend Simo. How are you doing, Simo?
Yeah, not too bad, eh? How about yourself?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. It felt like this was never happening again, but here we are. It's been 2 years, 3 years.
We talked about it about 8 times over the offseason. And then every time, most times it was you messaging me saying, hey, we should record something. And I was like, yeah, you're right, we should. And that was the end of the conversation.
Yeah, you got it, bud. Yep, all yours.
I talked to you in a fortnight.
Like, yeah, mate, nothing's stopping you. Yeah, I feel like I've got
Chris Gary on the line and I have a yarn to him. So
yeah, I've got co-hosts. Yeah, you both have one episode each this year. It's good. But now, Simo, about last week or two, the motivation came back. We needed the time off. You hit me up and I was, yep, let's get it done. We couldn't get it done before game one, but we tried. But here we are. We're back and we've got an off-season worth of takes and some hope, I believe, for the fans for once. Finally, we are finally no longer the official Broncos Death Riding podcast.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens in a week or two, but, you know.
I mean, the last coach transition, we were immediately the Broncos Death Riding podcast. It wasn't like most Broncos fans went to that period of positivity of like, no, this might work out. We never went through that. And
I reckon we had about 3 weeks of pro Seabold because Chris Gary was tweeting that the Broncos were training at 150% of training. And he was like, give it time, fellas. Remember South last year? He's like, give it 8 weeks.
There was that little period where we won a couple of games in a row in 2019. That I never really truly believed. And anyone who listens to the podcast who still listens knows we never truly believed. We got a lot of flack at the time, but here we are with another head coach that we also never really truly believed in.
Right, I heard someone making a joke the other day that Wayne's coming back to the Broncos next year. And I'm like, yeah, let's do that. Let's go around for the third time.
Why not? One more go. But I'll tell you what, like he was an awful Origin coach. We've had podcasts between us on here dissing it. He's the guy who picked Darius Boyd over Billy Slater, the man who played Moses Mbai and Corey Norman in Origin. But I tell you what, from the cards he's been dealt between the end of last season and today, he probably couldn't have done a better job in the situation, in my opinion, for who he is. I don't think he could have done a much better job. Not saying that he's done a fantastic job and there's not better coaches, but I have been surprised by the rumbling since he got there.
He seems to have gotten to the solution or like the answer to his questions a lot of the time, and they seem like decent answers he's got on the first time, whereas like Siebes would be like, no, we're going to play Jack Bird at fullback and then we're going to play Matt Lodge at fullback and then they both get injured. He's like, oh, so now we're back to playing Asako at fullback, and like Siebes kept falling ass first into shit that worked.
Yeah.
Whereas apart from the Croft at 7, like it's all been pretty solid, surprisingly.
Yeah, that's it, mate. I mean, the Croft at seven, that guy has hoodwinked three head coaches now. And one of those has been Craig Bellamy. And Bellamy gave him a long leash. Anthony Seibold, meh. And now Kevin Walters. Like, there's just something that guy does that we don't see. He must train
better than anybody.
I've even heard he's not even the best trainer. Like, so it's like he must be really good in the meetings or something or whatever. I don't know, but there's something about that and about him. And I know coaches always believe they can get something out of a player, others can't. But that just feels like to me that it's just a matter of time till Brody loses that job. And I've just accepted the terms that he's there now. And it's probably better he played now than it is if Tom didn't play for 5 weeks and we went 2-3 and they changed the other way. So I've accepted that. Hopefully it changes. Well,
the start to this season's not the easiest. So
It's not. But I do think what you said there, the thing that's been the best about the change so far, well, there's a few things, but the thing I've liked the most is that a lot of common sense football decisions have happened in that period. And anyone who's listened to us talk on here knows that for a long time, we thought Tessie New was our future center. We've been on the Isaka to fullback thing for a while. We've been on Pangai to lock, even though it looks like, well, maybe he goes back when Haas is there, but it was originally the plan until Haas got suspended. Been on that wagon, like all these things just, you know, common sense happened. And then even other things like Corey Oates wanted to go to the back row, and we've heard that rumbling 100 times. And they said, okay, you want to go to the back row? Here's your chance. And he's in fucking reserve grade. And that's it. Like earn your stripes, mate. Work your way back up into a first grade back row. Cause he thought he could swan into starting in the back row for us. It's not that easy, mate. You're not that good.
Yeah. You're not Luke Lewis. So
yeah, that's it. So it's just been a lot of bizarrely good things. Hey? And the other real positive I found, Simo, is, you know, we all laugh at other clubs when you hear like, we're going to bring back the Dogs of War. But like, it wasn't very long ago that the Broncos were very intrinsically linked to their history, and it went away for like 2 years.
Yeah, because remember Seibold sunk all the boats or whatever it was.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, burnt the boats, whatever.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
And then it stopped having functions with the club greats and stuff. But the big difference is like the Dogs of War is like 40 years ago. The Broncos isn't that long ago, and I do like that he's like brought back a bit of the Broncos culture, tried to humble the boys and get them back in the community, all that kind of stuff. And because those are the things that there's the reason why he will want to play for Brisbane is because who they are, not because of what Seibold turned them into. So that's been surprisingly good. And apparently the mood's upbeat, but I thought that was going to be a bit of a cop-out as a way to him to get the job. And it probably still is a bit of a cop-out, but it has felt okay. It's weird.
Yeah. I think you can probably remember this, but going back like a season, you said you went out to Panthers preseason training and you were like, the club just felt differently because everyone felt happy to just be playing football out there.
Yeah.
And not that I'm like at training and I'm like interacting with everyone every day, but it just feels like that is more a bit of the feeling around the Broncos from just the news you hear and bits here and there. And like the players at the club are still good players. Like I don't think... Mm-hmm. You need Kevy to be the world's greatest coach if you've got a couple of decent assistants and he just makes the players want to play there and like want to play good football. That's probably good enough for like not to win the premiership and be like, you know, top of the ladder all season, but to make the finals and have a half decent season out of it.
That's it, mate. And I think we saw on Friday, like a lot of fans of other clubs had written us off as like spoon locks and similar. And I remembered a couple of years ago when Parramatta got the spoon, that squad was too good to get the spoon. This Brisbane squad on paper is better than a number of squads that just weren't happy last year. And we saw last week that they may have lost that game, but they weren't with Haas. There was injuries during it. They still played to the end. There's a lot of talented players in that roster still. There's still holes in that roster as well. But like as you said, like happier lot most likely will get better performances. And it seems like that. And we're starting to hear the vibes out of the club. And yes, I hate these articles because we keep announcing, I would love to stay at Brisbane, not I've signed with Brisbane. Yeah. But we didn't get I love to stay at Brisbane last year.
No, the news was always that these four players are all waiting to see what happens with Seibold before they make a decision. Yeah. Like, that was the news all last season.
Yeah, and we had the Fifita thing, so he didn't want to leave Brisbane. It was like November of 2019, and then he just was quiet from then. And I don't know if you saw, though, Joe O, not a fan, as we know, he all turned on him, but am a fan of his interview a few weeks ago about Anthony Seibold. I don't know if you've seen that, but I'm not trying to bash Seibold anymore, but it's more a look into how unhappy the lot was last year. Like, he went through saying he was one of the unhappiest guys at the squad. Usually a really happy guy. He was depressed, but went through saying like they weren't winning, and like, you know, they weren't behind the coach. You lose your belief in your coach. Like, no one was clicking. All that kind of stuff going over and over. And he kept saying he's not going to badmouth Seibold, but did. And saying like players, they were honest with Seibold sometimes and whatever, and he wouldn't listen to us. All that kind of shit. Anyway, yeah, it was
none
obviously
of that shocks me.
He was sugarcoating it, and it was him still saying, yeah, last year was the worst year of my life. He said that pretty much one thing. And he even said, like, sometimes we play two structures and sometimes the players would get the shits and say we don't want to run this shit play. And they just didn't get a match style of footy, whatever that means. All this kind of shit he kept saying. But that's the stuff he'd say publicly. So you can imagine what some of those players would say privately about Seibold.
Yeah, yeah.
They were miserable last year. That's just a pure fact. So all it takes for Kevy is to be Kevy the good bloke at training, you know, have some fun, poke players the right way, you know, and then have assistants like a Terry Madison and a John Cartwright at the club. And people laugh at Cartwright because he wasn't a good head coach. Who gives a shit? He's a good assistant.
There's heaps of people that are like that.
Yeah, there is. And Terry Madison, I've heard pretty good things about them, but there's no coincidence they got it to pretty good football decisions, bar the Croft one, with that coaching staff. And I don't know if Kevy's the long-term answer as Broncos coach, but I have come around on him as being the answer for this year-ish, next year-ish, just to kind of get us on that right path, get players wanting to play for Brisbane again and players re-signing.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, and I know we can't keep them all. As always, we can't keep them all. We'll probably lose, I don't know, one or two of the big names, maybe like Tony Staggs and Reece Walsh or similar, but like, it just is what it is.
Panthers have showed us the way to keep everyone, mate.
Exactly. It's just not possible, but the main thing is I want people to come play for Brisbane. I want to come play for Brisbane again. Get rid of those. And they spoke about getting rid of the player options are gone. I can't believe that they have to discuss that. Player options aren't a thing anymore. They've ruined the roster doing that. But yeah, you just want to, you know, have some hope that they'll keep some of the boys around. And then, yeah, it's those guys being talented enough and happy will outshine coaching on many occasions, you know?
Like, if you've got a bunch of them that don't like playing under Seibold and they're all putting in 75%, and now, I don't know if you can hear that helicopter. That's super loud.
It's all right. I hear a little bit, not that bad.
And then, like, under Kevy, if they're liking it and everyone's putting in 100%, like, based off no special ability at coaching at all, you've just made the whole squad 25% better. Like, I just pulled up random numbers out of my head. But you know what I mean? Like, just by having a team that wants to play for Kevy, every player on the roster is better than the player they were last season.
Yeah. That's it, mate. Oh, God, I found the other good part of Alan Gawai's interview. He got asked, he's like, he first said he didn't think many of the players believed in Seibold. Some did, most didn't, or whatever, or some didn't. And they asked him if he believed in Seibold, and he goes, at stages. I mean, I'm not going to badmouth Seibold. I think he was a great guy, but I think his coaching strategy were nowhere near what we needed. Oh, not going to badmouth him, but also, fuck him.
He's the worst person ever.
Yeah, and this is just all Joe O taking him down because obviously you can't handle how intellectual and smart Anthony
is. He's an educated man. You can't handle the man that did a four-day course at Harvard. So
that's it. But yeah, we've got we've said this so many times over the years. Rugby league is chess, not checkers. And we've got a man who may not even be that good at chess in Walters, but yeah, sorry about good at checkers. We ain't trying to play chess. That's what I meant. Sorry, old Kevy. And I've been surprised too. He's been very awkward for a while in media interviews. He always feels like he's trying to plan what he's saying, then loses his words and struggles. I was shocked by how good he was in the press conference on Friday. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't. I got busy. I watched the first half Friday night, and then I got busy, so I had to watch the second half. Well, I rewatched the whole game today, but yeah, I had to finish off that. Missed the press conference, but yeah, everyone I talked to, they're like, yeah, he talked real well and stuff, which I just expected him to cry already, honestly.
Yeah, but he went on about, like, the main thing for me was that he didn't give the players an excuse, God, I got sick of excuses. And he didn't just blame everything else. Like, he got asked about the injuries, and he said they were a factor, but he said the team needs to learn to deal with adversity. There you go. He didn't go in the interview, oh, yeah, we lost because we got injuries. And we missed less tackles or something, though. Like, no dumb stats, no dumb excuses. He admitted that. It was good.
Yeah, that was something we always hated about Seabold. There was just everything that ever happened, there was an excuse for it. Like,
someone else's fault always. Never his.
We would have had 2 years of press conferences and nothing would have ever been. It was literally like watching Donald Trump press conferences. Like, everything is always someone else's fault. Never take any blame. Take all the credit when anything good happens. Like,
yeah. Yeah, we just felt, you know, the Broncos just felt to do it like this. So we, you know, we made that decision, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, we didn't cop any of that on the game. And I heard the vibe at the club was pretty good on the back of it. And they've been pretty, even though they lost, obviously, they've been a bit more of a belief around the group this week. So maybe the things are starting to turn in terms of the players believing in themselves. And I did think on the night we got some performances out of guys that I didn't really expect. You know, I had but faith in at Milford, so there's no doubt I expected him to be good. I always do. I'm an idiot. Sarko was good expected, but I didn't expect David Mead to be so good. I thought he was probably our best on the field, and I hated that signing, and he was bad last time he was at Brisbane, but he was good. That was weird.
You're going to get David Mead revenge game next week too.
We are against the Titans, mate. We're going to get David Mead revenge game, but like, he was good. I thought Bullmore was good in his short stint off the bench. I mean, I thought most of the team was pretty good. Didn't love Carrigan's effort. But yeah, it was good to see a Broncos game, win or lose, to see them at least like put in down to the wire, that base level effort. And I know other teams' fans are laughing at us and saying we're proud. No one's actually proud, but it was nice to see the team actually fight for something for the first time in forever, because we just seen last year. Yeah, they had some games they got up like 6 or 12-0. But the moment the other team scored like 2 tries, it was like, well,
we're done.
That's it. Open the floodgates.
Yeah, like, no one's sitting here going, yeah, we're happy with that and we want to see that exactly every week. Like, it was just that it's a much big improvement over what we were seeing from last season.
It is, mate. And we saw Milford lay on 2 superb tries and also make that break for Brody Croft, who forgot how hands work.
What? Yeah. Whatever. I knew that was coming, and I still am just shocked by it.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of those games, mate. You play that game 100 more times, we'll probably win 95 of them, just the way things fell. Like, that Croft drop ball, Herbie dropped an intercept, their second try. Most times, I don't think the referee lets that play on. Their second try was quite lucky. What other one missing? There was a few things just kind of didn't go our way, and that's just it. We ended up losing, but... You know, if that Herbie catch intercept, probably game over. If Croft does anything but somehow drop the ball, we'd get probably game over.
The weird thing was, it didn't even get like knocked out. Like, he just dropped it trying to pass it.
Yeah, it looked like someone had punched it out.
But he on the front angle, he's just passing it and he just dropped it onto his foot.
But the ball still looks like, even though nobody touched it, it still looks like someone punched it out because it falls like straight down. How the hell did you go pass right and the ball went left?
And then, but even then, like, the kick, if it just doesn't hit the post, it's a try. I mean, it was, in my mind, it could have been a try anyway, but like, it just happens to then hit the post.
Well, that's another one, mate, that we've had this discussion before. Downward pressure is touching the ball in the end goal.
Yeah, if it's touching the ground, all you have to do is touch the ball. This is Jack Bird try against Tigers all over again.
It's ugly. It doesn't look like a try, but that's all it has to be, is you touch your finger on the ball. Like, if a player went and scored a try, if the ball was sitting in the end goal and a player ran up and put a finger down and poked it, they'd award it because it looked deliberate. They don't award it because Turpin's is like kind of ugly. And the Bird one was more clear. The ball kind of stopped in the Bird one. But yeah, that was, hard pill to swallow, but I didn't feel disappointed. We lost, but I didn't feel like gutted because I was like, fuck, this felt like a Broncos 2018 loss. Still lost, but it felt like we tried. Didn't feel like, and the 2018 wasn't that good, but it felt like this is a team that tried and lost and are good enough. Didn't feel like a Broncos 2020 or 2019 loss.
I mean, yeah, you don't all want to be like, always have a million excuses for it, but...
No.
Just with the injuries too. First game of the season, so like no one's got real fitness. And then you lose 3 players by pretty much halftime. with that bench, and you've got to reshuffle your back line, and like, it's a loss, but I'm not heartbroken by it. Like, whatever. Like, I thought it was a decent effort.
Same. And it was, it's a thin back line as well. I mean, a couple of years ago, we had about 700 backs. Now we have none. And so the moment I actually thought when Coates went down, I thought, fuck, we're probably going to lose this, just because I thought it was 16 points, which is a, if he kicked that field, that conversion, made it 18, I might have felt differently. But at 16, I was like, geez, they're probably going to run us down here.
He kicked that one. He missed the second try.
Second one, sorry. Yep. You're right. Missed the second one. But Coates goes down, and I was running in my head. I'm like, okay, who the hell goes to center? And I was like, well, they've done Glenn before, but Glenn's pretty cooked. Ricky, they probably won't move Ricky. They can't play Asiata at center. And I'm like, oh, fuck, they're going to play old Ben Teo at center. And then that's what happened. And
they should have just played Asiata at center.
They should have. And mate, Ben Teo was the king of getting at marker and yelling at other players in that game. Didn't do much himself, but he was, come on, guys, let's go, and yelling at marker.
Like, he's like, I'm old, do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, and I guess that's when you think, oh, I wish we had Corey Oates on that bench, but I actually don't think that. I was like, I know we lost this game, but it's like Oates has to earn his way. That's it. Earn your way, mate. You go play second row in reserve grade, prove you can do it, and come into first grade and see if you can add something to the team. I just know he has a bit of an attitude at the moment and probably needs a bit of a reality check that he's not the player he thinks he is. So he had the choice of staying on the Broncos left wing and scoring a bazillion tries and walking into the team, and he chose, I'm going to be a back rower. Well, there you go, champ. Earn it.
Go play with Carmichael Hunt.
That's it. But it really isn't a bad performance as well when you say you mentioned the injuries, but like starting the game without Haas and Staggs, losing Lodge, Coates and Asiata, it's like, what can you do? And I mean, I wish Haas could stop getting suspended every offseason, but, but here we are. The only negative I found, of course I found a negative in our good friend Patrick Carrigan. Brody Croft was, yeah. But I know they didn't plan on him playing 80, and I'm trying to get off his back because I think if he played 40 to 50 minutes, he'd be a much better player. But I still don't like how it's like, in case of emergency, break glass, and behind that glass is 80 minutes of Patrick Carrigan. I don't like that.
Like any injury anywhere on the field, yeah. It's like Carrigan's playing 80.
That's it, exactly right. Like, he's got it, mate. He's fit enough. It's like
fullback tears a hammy. He's like, Carrigan's playing 80.
And I know some people don't get it, and I'm not trying to act like I'm some genius, but if you rewatch that second half and watch his efforts, I was speaking to our good friend Benny DTD, who's been on the show before, and it's kind of like he was playing kind of like how Cam Smith defends when he plays hooker, is when he goes in like the third man and wraps a tackle up, whatever, doesn't put any effort into it, whatever, to conserve energy. Just
racking up stats.
But that's what Cam Smith does that, right? Because Cam Smith has to touch the ball a million times, and he's also smaller. You want your forward like making an impact.
But see, when Cam Smith does it, he's actually also slowing the play the ball down, and he knows exactly what he's doing. Like, Cam Smith's not wasting energy out there just doing that for no reason.
Yeah, I got
Carrigan's doing what he does.
Yeah, I don't want to bitch too much about the set restart rule. You can listen to Boom Rookie Street to bitch about that. But when they scored that try, the first try of Reed Marnie dove over, I got COVID warned at the pub for standing up because you still couldn't stand at pubs. But I yelled at him because it's like, what he did, like, I don't know, he didn't cop any flack for anyone else, but on that first try, if you've somehow forgotten what happened, Carrigan is on top, he's third man into that tackle, really slow, goes on top of Papali'i and somehow lets Papali'i like bench press him. So he falls on the ground and that leaves one guy at marker. And what anyone with half a clue would then do, it does not matter what the goddamn rules of the game are. You cannot let Parramatta play that ball. Get in the ruck, cheat, get sin bin, get penalised, do something. Don't watch them score, put your hands in the air. He watched Reed Marnie get up and dive over, and he's just like, well, I couldn't do anything. It's no, mate, you get in, like, for all the dumb penalties he's given away and dumb drop balls, the time to give one away was then. Yeah, get in the ruck.
His thing's dumb penalties, not smart penalties.
That's it. So he didn't do that. And then when Asiata was down injured, we're working out of our end, finally a possession. Pango offloads the ball to him, and for God knows what reason, Paddy Garrigan, for the first time in his life, thinks, mate, I'm going to whip this ball out fast or something, and just gives it to Parramatta, and then they scored. It's like, and I do think he will play less once we're fully fit, and I hope so, because I don't want to death ride him, but every game this shit happens when he plays big minutes, and it's just not good. It drives me insane. Like, and he just gets away with it. Nobody cares because at the end of the game, they look at his tackle number and his run number and go, well, he put in.
Super coach points, mate.
Exactly, mate. It's like, I'm taking crazy pills. But other than that, that was good. And it's been a refreshing offseason. And the best thing of the weekend, outside of the Broncos game, the best thing of the weekend was watching McCulloch and Joe O and Jack Bird play for another club, and they all sucked.
I mean, out of the three of them, Joe O is probably likely to be the best at the Tigers. But McCulloch and Jack Bird just... Actually, I see this. This is the last time we've used a run sheet. I just scrolled down a bit to our last podcast notes, and it's got Jack Bird debut.
Oh my God.
And notes about Nikorima.
Give a go. Bitching about Macca again.
Lodge, Sims, and Moose.
Yeah, that's a long time ago. There we go. But,
Here we go. This was the team we had back then because we had all the players written out we'd talk notes on. So the spine was Boyd, Milford, Nikorima, and Thaiday/Hunt.
Got injured, mate. Remember?
And then the forwards, Blair, Sims, Glenn, Gillette, Maguire, backs of Oates, Moga, Roberts, and Kahu, and then TBJ off and Gowie and SESE on the bench.
Yeah, mate, but that'd be remember in Thaiday, it was the back end of 2018. Thaiday was playing hooker at the start of the game because McCulloch got injured.
Yeah. Oh, and then Thaiday would play like 20 minutes and then Turpin had come on for a bit.
No, Hunt was coming on there.
Hunt, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, but God, a long time ago. But yeah, I enjoyed seeing them at other clubs. I have no idea how that Macca deal happened, but thank God.
Oh.
And then Jack Bird going to the... Mate, we've been throughout this from the start of the Broncos. Grass is always greener, Jack Bird. Always wants to play in the position he's not in. He goes to the Dragons and he wants to be in the forwards, trains in the forwards all preseason, right? Gets his way, and then a week before the season, he's like, actually, no, I want to play center. It's like, what? Back where he always bitched about playing, now he's back in the centers. Thank God.
Like, that, the Macca and Jack Bird things is, like, they're the kind of things you hear might happen in preseason. Like, oh, yeah, Dragons are interested. And you just hope it happens, and it never, ever does usually. And then they both happened, and they both went to the Dragons.
Yeah, and I know Brisbane really didn't want to lose McCulloch because Turpin had fitness issues, but thank God, like, me know this, we've been on this. McCulloch at this point is the on paper version of him is better than the reality. They talk about experience, leadership, does his job, good tackler. It's like, yeah, but you wait till he starts passing to your halfback after 20 minutes and see how you feel. It's not good.
That's a decision that Kevy fell ass backwards into.
He didn't want to do it, and they just offered too much. And I found a coach dumber. So what?
Yeah.
Offered too much, and there he is, which is good. And then Turpin, I get the concern. I do get it, but if he gets injured, he gets injured. Thank God I have to see McCulloch play for Brisbane again. And that 500K, what have we got back in the cap? I don't think they're going to use it for a new player, which is fine. I believe they plan on using it to front load some of the re-signings, which is great. That's actually a good strategy. Front load some of the guys you want to keep for next year.
Yeah. I mean, if you got the money there, you may as well.
Yeah, but it's been strange. It's strange trying to have some hope for Brisbane, mate, because I didn't have it for so long. I was so just dead with everything.
Yeah. So, and then, well, we got Titans this week. So looking forward to that one. Actually looking forward to a game for now. That's new.
Yeah. I actually got excited for round one as well. Last year it was like, could this just end? Can we lose by less than 40 this weekend?
First two games were good last season. We beat Cowboys and then Souths.
Yeah. And I think after COVID hit, that was the period. Other people bought into Seabold and I was still done. Remember, we were getting tweets into the podcast, and you eat all your words or whatever. It's like, nah. they weren't that good. They still won, but they weren't that good. But yeah, I've got some hope. This weekend, we'll probably get to that soon, but we've got a few outs. But yeah, I'm back at that point now. I can talk myself into us winning this game, which is good.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, I want to see what Fifita does. It's going to be that, like, it's going to go one way or the other. Yeah, badly, one way or the other.
Well, that's a good seg. We'll jump into the news because then we'll do some questions. Then we'll do, like, a preview. We don't really need to do a review of last week's game. We kind of covered it there. But there is
There's just one other thing I had while we're talking about last week's game before we go on.
Yeah.
But like, I think it was especially more in this first half than the second half. But Asako seemed to be jumping into more like a halfback position than Croft a lot of the time. Like, he was in first receiver like quite a few times and had like last tackle options and stuff. It was just something I noticed. So I thought it was interesting because that seemed smarter than what Kevy had come up with.
Correct. They've definitely given a bit more free reign this year, the boys, to do. Like, and you made a good point. I looked it up now. He had 41 receipts. I hadn't noticed that as much as you did. 41 receipts, 27 passes. So Croft only touched the ball 31 times. There you go, mate. That
makes me look smart.
There you go. It does, but that's a lot of touches for a fullback. Like, that's up past Tedesco areas. Like, Gutherson had a similar on their side, but he does get involved like a playmaker. So that's
good spotter, mate. Punchable face, Gutho, eh? And that his hair does not help.
Yep. Oh, I was screaming though at halftime because I'd heard Asako talk before the game during the week. He was like one of the few players at clubs who said he's been practicing the 2-point field goal. I was yelling for it the last like 10 minutes of the first half, just crack it. And then finally when that came, we were too close. So Milford took a terrible attempt, but I wanted it bad. But oh well. Maybe this week.
What you got to do is you got to like get to the 20-meter line and then just throw a 25-meter ball just straight back.
Yeah, legit.
Just do it. Like, what's that would be the most pressure-free shot you'll get. No one is running 35 meters to charge that down.
Legit. Even if you do two passes back, two crisp ones.
You're going to get two passes. Like, you'll be way faster than the line can run.
Yeah.
Especially at the end of the game with how buggered all these forwards are. No one is sprinting like 40 meters to get there, 35 meters.
Yeah. And I guess that was the unfortunate thing in the game. We will touch that again, actually. The fitness is like, they were in that game, but they had nothing left to go the distance at the end of that game. Like, after that Milford break and they got the six again thing again cranked up on them not getting called, whatever, they couldn't get down the field. It's like, you just knew they weren't going to score something in the back end. But God, I was like, just make Jermaine kick a 50 meter one. Just kick one from 50. We didn't get there though.
It wasn't even just it was everybody. I didn't see many other games this weekend, but from what I hear, everyone says it's similar. But like, any kick chase from both sides was just met with like one person chasing that and everyone else was just jogging or walking down the field. Like, there's no pressure in the second half.
Well, that was the unfortunate thing. Our good boy contract year, Anthony Milford, had a great game, but he put in a really great kick with like 7 or 8 minutes to go in that game.
Alex Glenn chased.
It ended up in their in goal. Glenn was really good, by the way. His best game in like 2 or 3 years. Only he chased. And then, of course, you get beaten 1-on-1. But then they ended up on their 30 on tackle 2. And it's like, well, there goes that pressure. That's just how they were.
It was very good kick. But and there was a couple other kicks too where, like, not quite that good, but just no one was chasing.
Yeah.
Everyone was too tired.
Too tired. And then, as you saw down our end, that time we almost scored off it, but that weird 6-again sequence where they signaled 3 times in a row, but only one was given, and Bournemouth had to go back and play the ball. You watch that sequence, and it's like, this is just a disgraceful rule change. Hopefully it gets revoked, but there was just no way out of our end. I can't believe that, like, if Pangai's offload went to ground and we got tackled on the in goal, we would have to give the drop out despite us receiving the 6-again. Like, why would you ever want a 6-again on, like, on your goal line?
This is like, people always be like, oh, 6-again should be like opt-in. Like, you get a penalty, but you can just like yell at the ref and play on. And it's like, that's what they did have with quick taps. Like, allow quick tap.
Yeah, I know. But that was one of the ones, like, there is no situation ever, the team in that your received half, that, received, no. In your half, maybe you could have a roll on it. On, like, the ball was played like on our goal line. There is no situation ever you want a 6-again there. It's ridiculous. And well, the referee's tired too, mate, in this rule. But that's like, the rule isn't he has 6-again. He has discretion. And in another game, I saw like Jarrod Sutton gave a penalty really early on for offside. You can give penalties for it still. But that one, I was just like, it's not referee's fault we lost. It's not his fault the rules are shit, you know? But it was just like, you watch that, it's like, man, they have really bottled this decision to bring that in. Okay. News. So we were talking about Fifita. Going to the two bits of news, essentially. First bit is the Broncos finally, mate, they've come to this great decision and they're not going to give everyone player options. Geniuses. I don't know how they figured it out,
All I can put it down to is they must have quite a backlog of Broncos Weekly and they're listening about 2 years ago, because we discovered this a long time ago and I'm glad they're catching up.
We caught that by accident. The NRL 1 year when they uploaded their contracts at the start of 2019 or so, they put it on their website and the first time ever they put the options.
And we were like, and it was just all of them were just player options.
It was like seven. Other clubs had like one and we had like seven of them. And then we had player options and mutual options. Like, what the hell are we doing? And that's what we started bitching about, even at good teams. You know, it doesn't matter. Even the best players shouldn't get those options. So I'm glad that's going away. But the interesting part of that is it's about, somehow it came from David Fifita's deal. And Carl Morris had some good comments about Fifita's deal, which is these things I don't disagree with what Carl's saying. I do agree that you should draw a line in the sand of what you're going to go past for players. And his line was 800K and the Titans offered 1.2 million. Again, I agree with this in principle, but it still fucking bites me that this was the deal that we did it on. Like, we didn't do it on like any of the other ones. Like, we did it on, this is the one we fought on. It's like Tom Flegler, I believe, will be worth the cash one day, but he got given 600K last off season because we thought he was worth it. You know, we gave Corey Oates a bit of money, like that, similar that much. But plenty of those guys got overpaid. We wouldn't do it for this one. And they might have learned a lesson from that, which is great. But it still burns that we lost that type of talent to learn that lesson.
Like, we gave all those young blokes money. The only one we actually made a good deal on was Payne Haas.
Yeah.
Like, when we gave him that 500K four-year deal or whatever.
4 or 5 year deal.
And he's been worth it.
I mean, it's probably a good thing for us that he's abusing cops every offseason, because, like, you can't just go demand a new contract.
We can keep that 500K.
It's all right. Look, we were going to offer you a million, but, mate, look, the cops and...
Mate, you bugger it.
That's it.
You got to go to, like, don't bash up cop school now and, you know.
Yeah, and I've obviously come to more to terms with losing Fifita now, and we'll live without it. He's a back row, as they say. But it did sting a lot last year, but also found quite funny. We've also now found, look, if you thought we were past having snubbed players, Simo, apparently you were wrong, because apparently Tino Fasua-Maliawi was at the Broncos and we snubbed him as a 16-year-old, as we seem to keep, mate, the amount of 16-year-olds we apparently snub at this school, at this club, you know, every single kid who played rugby league, we kick him across the border. They didn't make our top 17. We drive them down to the border and we throw them over it, apparently.
Like New South Wales can have them.
That's it. But,
I mean, I know from you talking to some people around Rockhampton, and like every third half-talented kid in Rockhampton's on like some Broncos scholarship. You know, like, and I'm sure that's the same in every town from like Mackay down to Brisbane.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, of course you're going to get some of those don't end up at the Broncos. And it's like, oh, they were on a Broncos scholarship. Like,
they were snubbed.
30,000 kids on Broncos scholarships. Like, you know. Snubbed.
The funny thing about this article was they made it seem like it was a Haas or Tino decision. Like, there was two young people in all of Queensland. We could pick one of them. And we chose Haas. Because they're saying, oh, they dedicated their time to Haas. And whatever. It's like, that doesn't make any sense. That's it. We chose one young player.
Yeah. And so I mean, just, like... Yeah, we really missed out picking Haas, like, either. Like, what a shocker that decision would be to keep Haas.
We're given the choice again, we make the same choice. But it's just weird. It was just one of those classic articles. Everyone was snubbed. I don't know if you've read Cam Smith's book either, by the way. And no one gives a shit anyway. But it was good to see him say he wasn't snubbed by the Broncos, because no one else ever fucking said that.
I love, though, that, like, it's been 15 years of everyone caring about the story and Broncos didn't choose Cam Smith. And then when he writes about it in his book, everyone's like, who cares about that story? Like, it's like, you've cared for the last half decade and a half.
Yeah. And so Tino's story did go on to say the Storm actually offered more money. So it wasn't snubbing again, but that's what Cam Smith's book says is quite interesting. He goes on, it wasn't even about the money. It was true that the Storm offered him a contract first. The Broncos did offer one as well after the Storm did. So we had two offers on the table. And the reason Cam went to Melbourne wasn't because the Broncos had snubbed him. He was a Broncos fan. He grew up one too. And so was Tino, apparently. But anyway, it wasn't because the Broncos snubbed him. He said, his own damn words is like, Melbourne only had one hooker on there in their roster at the time, Richard Swain. And the Broncos had two. Luke Prittis and Mick Roberts, he had played first grade. People remember he played in the injury crisis. Excuse me, the Redcliffe star, but didn't really kick on. But that's all the choice he made, was like, to me, to play for the Broncos, I'd have to get Luke Prittis and I'd have to get Mick Roberts out of the way. To me, to play for the Storm, there's one person in the way. That's all it was. It wasn't some, well, they snubbed me last week. They didn't want me. So
Wayne Bennett refused to talk to me.
That's it. Yeah, mate, yeah, Wayne Bennett's wife's lunch was terrible, and that's what he was like. That's it. I'm out of here.
There's no butter chicken, apparently.
But we snubbed Big Tino, mate. Get his revenge this week. Yeah, oh, yeah. That'll show us. And the last bit of news I'll talk about, and I know I've laughed. You know the club was desperate for good news when they keep announcing the loves to stay at the Broncos stories, because that doesn't mean shit. But I did find it interesting that Tessie New apparently has turned down the Titans. So it's good that he's turned the Titans down, which is good considering there's that tweet last year or Facebook message came out last year that he was going to follow Fifita apparently. He's turned them down. And the other news that our good friend Chris Gary just reported it, our co-host, he says that Jordan Rickey is set to announce his re-signing with the club, having turned other offers. So this is a bit more news than saying, I love the club. At least they've got to that part of the negotiations.
Yeah, I mean, when people just be like, I love the club, I want to stay here for life, that never really means. You can't read too much into it. I remember Dave Fifita's mum like being on Facebook groups saying he was never going to leave the club and all this stuff. Like, yeah, once people actually sign some, I'm happier to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Like that chat, oh, I love the club. It's like, yeah, everyone loves the club, but you know what's better than club? Money. Money is good.
Yeah.
But so Ricky, though, I was hopeful of him re-signing before we had to pay him like boom rookie for money. Like, I didn't want him to go on, you know, wanting 500 plus a year. So who knows? But I do worry about Brendan Piacura or Piacaru. So I keep saying the wrong one. I keep trying to mix it up. But I've heard he is. Look, the line I was told is Piacura. That's it. He's going to make you forget about David Fifita. I was told by an unnamed source. So
Chris Gary.
No, not Chris Gary. Everyone thinks my source is Chris Gary. No. I like Chris, but I would back my footy opinion over Chris's, okay?
Like, I'm gonna DM him that.
I like Brendan myself already beforehand, but just he's had a good off-season, but I've heard the dogs are after him hard, so we'll see. But anyway, enough bullshit rumor chat. Let's go to more bullshit rumor chat. Let's do the questions.
On that,
you got something?
If people are like, oh, I'll make you forget about Dave Fifita, do you remember the one we always used to say was that Fossey commenting on schoolboys was like Dave Fifita was the best second row prospect he'd ever seen in his life?
Yeah.
I don't think, like, in all of Vossi's work, Dave Fifita is the best he's ever seen. And then, like, 13 months later, there's like, this is the guy that's going to make you forget about
this
Dave
is the
Fifita.
Guy Vossi missed. It's the guy Vossi missed.
So
when the Corona footy wasn't played, Vossi missed him. He's better.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe he'll be better. I don't know. Yeah. But I think Fifita's going to be pretty good.
I think Fifita still might. It's just one of those things. He might not be the best NRL back row you've ever seen, but he was definitely one of the best schoolboys I've ever seen too, because he just ran over children. Just so easy for him.
Yeah, like, I remember in, was it 17, the grand final, I went down to Sydney. I was at your place.
Yeah.
And we watched, it was like schoolboys, Kiwis versus Kangaroos.
Yeah.
And Tana Boyd and Dave Fifita had like 18 tries between them.
Yeah.
And just like Tana Boyd, short ball, Fifita just running over like six kids.
Yeah. And there was a game, like under 18s game, where Fifita picked the ball up from the back of the scrum in his own 10 and scored. And that's what the good kid does in like under eights, you know,
yeah.
under 18s. But yeah, he's good now. But I do like Piacura because I do believe, from what I've seen anyways, like, I know Fifita is definitely a more talented player, but we've all seen that he does have a lot, likes running over people, finding contact, dancing infield. I think Piacura might be one of those guys who's a bit of a better, like a better, smarter player, not a better player, but runs better lines, better, you know, passer of the ball and similar. But we'll see. Hopefully, I won't lose him to the Bulldogs after saying all this. But Simo, you're going to do the questions, aren't you?
Yeah, right. We'll start over on Facebook. We've got a couple here first one from Daniel. From what we've seen in round one, give us your end of season ladder predictions. Where do we need to finish for the Kevolution to be considered a success? My take is ninth or higher.
I picked this eighth in a preseason preview. So I picked this in the eighth, but I do think a realistic spot is between 6 to 10. And I think the Kevolution to be considered a success is to finish 10th or above, but have that that period of the year when you win, you know, five of seven or something, and on a trot, and people start believing a little. You want that period. People go, oh, if the season was longer, they would have made a run. Or if there was a play in, that's what you want.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a group that's around like 7 to 10, where all of those could just be bundled up either way, like anyway.
Mm.
And then you've got usually a step down after that. But if you're in that group that's kind of like, even if you just miss out, kind of close, like this is the thing we always say too, is like you don't have to be a good team to make the finals. Like often a team that is like 12 and 12 or whatever makes the finals.
Mm.
Like, so I could definitely see us, if they keep playing like the way we did it against Para, like we'll definitely beat it up on a bunch of bad sides and win some games and probably be in around the discussion for that.
Yeah, that's it. And that's really what you want, just on the path back to the full Kevolution.
From Cameron, he said, can you guys bring back Recommendation Station? It could be a movie, book, podcast, video, YouTube, TV series, or musician.
Well, I don't know if it ever officially left. The podcast has stopped happening.
We didn't do it the last few. I've got a recommendation, and that's if you got a shit job, you leave it and go find a better one. That's my recommendation.
You go join the rivals across. You did the Fafita to the Titans thing.
Yeah, I just moved across the river on the north side now, and definitely recommend that.
Okay, what? Oh God, I've watched some TV over the last everyone has over the coronavirus period. I saw Raya and the Last Dragon, the movie last night, a rare bit of time off at the moment with the missus. We went to the movies, went to the Odeon at Hornsby, the old cinema, and that was pretty good. So animated movie. Yeah, check that out. There's a recommendation.
I've been watching a lot of Futurama.
That's a good recommendation.
Yeah. And also Lion King. Like Estelle goes through phases where she'll like a movie and then that's all she wants to watch. And at the moment that is Lion King. She's just obsessed with lions.
I'm glad that's so held up.
She gets in like where she'll like a series, but I don't think she knows that there's multiple movies in the series. So it's like Cars, there's Cars 1, 2, and 3. And so she just want to watch Cars. So it's like, you just cycle between them. So you're not watching the same movie over and over.
I like it.
But so you got Lion King 1, 2, and then there's also like the live action looking version. So.
What about the straight to video versions? You got some of those shitty like Lion King 3?
I don't know. I'll have to ask my streaming provider.
There you go.
But yeah, so I've been watching a bit of Lion King and Frozen always, but Futurama is kind of what Emily and I have been watching lately.
Oh, I've got a recommendation of a TV series, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And that's, if you haven't heard of the show, it's a comedy about, Miriam Maisel, she's called, but she's in the 50s. She's a stand-up comedian. Good period piece in terms of it really feels like it sounds so dumb saying this. It feels like it's in the 50s, but they've done a really good job of creating a fake person in a real period of time and making it feel like a real character. Like there's real other comedians in it. You'd think she was a real, if you didn't know she wasn't, like, a part
of
history.
It was a documentary.
Yeah, you'd think it's like a biographical TV series. If you didn't know she wasn't real, you'd probably think that. It's really well done. And the first time I watched the first episode of that show like 2 or 3 years ago, I didn't like it. And I very rarely give up on a show after an episode, but I did in that instance. But rewatched it with the missus over the coronavirus period, and it was it's a cracker. There you go. That's like seven recommendations.
Now we don't have to do this for another month. Yeah.
And Simo, next time you'll rattle off the 7 Toy Story movies.
There's 4 of those. I should get her on those so I can keep her entertained for a bit. From David, does anyone have a clue how to get the team to play the second half, or are they just done fitness, or are they just half done fitness wise?
Well, if that Joe O thing I mentioned earlier, the article, he bashes that they were fit. They were fit. They were just miserable. Like, you know, they're not on a fit. In this game, it's round one. There was injuries, new rules. Yeah, like, that's just what it is.
We've seen heaps of games where you get an injury, just one injury early on, and it's just hard. So you got 3 injuries basically in the first half. I'm not too upset about it. It like is what it is.
And it's exactly right. 3 is a bit much, you know. 1 they should, or 2 should be able to cope with maybe, but 3 was it, and then they just had no subs left because I had to use them for the injuries. and they didn't rotate the forwards enough. And with new rules, and you've seen with these new rules, like the rules of momentum. Like we would, if that first half kept going, we would have won the first half with like 70, because that's we were on top and we just kept rolling, and then Power on top in the second half and just kept rolling. It's so hard to stop the roll. Like penalties can break the roll, and they got rid of them. So pretty much, so yeah.
Just while we're talking about last game again, I think if we're under Seabold, that forward pass, you know, like first pass of the game, Parra would have scored straight away, and then that's where we would have lost that game, and we never would have got back into the game.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought too, mate. And I know we cracked eventually, but our goal line defense wasn't actually that bad through that game.
I think we should mention this too, is because especially in the first half, Parra dropped like every second set they dropped the ball. So they definitely did not play good in the first half, but the goal line defense held.
Yeah, but in the second half, they seemed to complete every goddamn set, Parra. I was begging for a drop ball when they were rumbling downfield. It just never came.
I mean, that's what momentum does for you.
Yeah, yeah.
From Kerrod, not Walters. Does anyone think Croft is better half than Dearden other than Kevy? No one on this podcast.
No, Anthony Seabold did. Some others do. It's one of those ones. Yeah, it's one of those ones, mate. That even if Brody Croft was better than Dearden right now, I still don't understand it. I've said that before, but it's like I just don't get it with the vision of where the club's heading. Knowing they need to re-sign him, knowing they've said he's the future, also knowing that Croft was the last head coach's guy, it doesn't make any sense. It isn't that leave him in the dirt and move on.
Like, whenever you get new management come in, they always want something that you can just like bullet and be like, that's the last person's thing. Yeah. We're moving on from that. And it's just such an easy, like,
it's an easy win with everybody.
I don't know if scapegoat's the right word, but it's so easy to just come in and just bullet Croft and just cop the cap hit or whatever it is and just move on and everyone's happy.
I mean, everybody, like the Broncos training is the most overreported training in the league. We all know this. There's like seven people down there reporting every fart at training. But Brody Croft, until after that trial and until Milford's injury, really, Brody Croft did not run a single like opposed session or a match him or anything at halfback at training. It was like Tom Dearden is the guy, that's it. And then Milford gets hurt and somehow, I don't know what the fuck they saw out of Croft in that trial and not out of Dearden, but that's what got Croft in, and he's in for now. But I just know he's such a bad player. He's so uncoordinated that it won't last. He's only good at one thing, and that's running back behind the ruck after a clean play of the ball. And he looked good in the first half doing that, but he didn't actually create shit. Ran back behind the ruck a few times. Nothing happened, but...
I don't know how Kevy, like, had Cameron Smith on the phone every second day for the last 4 months and never asked him about Brody Croft. Like, Cam Smith would have told him what he thought about him.
Yeah, but... What you mentioned about the Sarko stuff, I'd noticed Croft didn't touch it much at all, but I didn't notice that. And he's just playing the passenger role then, really. So he's 31 touches is nothing.
He was definitely like, I mean, as just as far as him and Milford goes, definitely the secondary playmaker in the team.
Yeah.
Like we always say, like, and Milford was playing both sides of the field too.
Which is like, nice.
Yeah, he was just. It was basically just Milford doing like playing six and seven. We're used to Milford playing two roles, but Milford was just doing whatever he wanted. And Croft was like barely touching the ball, which like, whatever, I'll take it. I'll take him being the third playmaker behind Asako essentially. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. But hopefully it doesn't last much longer, but I'll only start panicking if we actually lose Dearden before then, but I don't know. It just feels like he's been grossly mismanaged. And I don't disagree with Kevy's statement that he needs some Queensland Cup time. But it's because Brody Croft is the guy in front of him. It's not like 35-year-old Benji Marshall's holding the forward. It's Brody goddamn Croft, you know?
But like maybe if we were a contending team that was going to make the top four, I'd be like, yeah, give him some Queensland Cup time because you don't want to like upset this team. Like this season, it's a lost season already. Like we're not going to accomplish anything this season.
Yeah.
You might as well play the guy that you're going to play next year.
That's why it makes no sense, hey, in the whole vision of the whole thing. Oh, well.
Yeah, like this isn't a special season that like we're trying to push for a premiership.
But considering what he pretty much put like 15 of the other 17 together I would have put together, very different to when Seba would name like four of what I'd want to get named. So that's why I'm not as mad about it as people probably expect me to be.
From Johnny, he said, how many rounds do you give Croft till Kevy gives Dearden the seven?
Mate, it really depends on results, doesn't it? I mean, if we were like 1-4, they did that. That's the easiest scapegoat in the side. But if we start winning games, they're not going to change the halfback. And yeah, but I hope they keep win if they win. But I guess it's the positive if they do somehow. If they lose Titans and Bulldogs, that's the 0-3, and they have the Storm. We're not beating the Storm yet, so we could be 0-4. So, well, at that point, that's probably when it happens. But I don't think we're going to lose those games.
Yeah, so Titans, Bulldogs, Storm, Souths.
Yeah.
Penrith.
And then Penrith. Like, there's, it does feel like.
And then Eels
some,
again.
Yeah, at some period in there, like, no matter how good of a start of the season we have, it's just a big ask for that team to win those games. Also on the trot, considering the rule changes and the fitness issues. So it feels like at some point that he'll get scapegoated.
From Scott, what would you offer Dearden?
What, money-wise?
Yeah, I guess.
Mate. That's a tough question to answer because I don't know what everybody else is on. But, you know, you've got to see what the Cowboys are offering. I'd probably give him like 650 and be fine with it. People will bitch that's too much money. But, like, whatever. Dylan Brown got like 800K for... And he's good, but he hadn't done proven much yet. Like, that's what halfbacks get.
I would just offer him... Like, you've got to keep him.
Yeah.
With how little... good sevens we've had at the Broncos. You just can't, like, maybe this guy isn't going to be the answer, but we don't know that yet. You got to keep him at the club till you know if that's the, you know, the answer to that or not. So just whatever it's going to take, I guess.
Well, that's, those are the things that if you let a Fifita go for that money, you have to keep the key position player. Then if you've gone, that position's not worth that to us. You've got to put the money into a guy like Dearden. And I know that they're going to be real hard. It's going to be really hard for them to keep Reece Walsh. Warrior is going to be chasing him really hard. But it's the same thing when I spoke to Chris Gary, podcast with Chris Gary. There's the same reason why Tony Staggs is not high up my re-signing list. It's not because I don't think he's a great player. It's because he plays in the centers. Lockdown, like Tom Dearden, Reece Walsh, the guys you believe are going to be the future of the club in key positions. Lock those guys down, a couple of forwards. Then you let, like, let's lose. I like Flegler, right? But let's lose a Flegler and a Carrigan first and figure that out later. Like, you watch, look at teams around the competition. You look at, like, how the Raiders all of a sudden have guys like Harawira Naira and Corey Horsburgh can't even make their 17 if they're fit, most likely. Ryan James went there for, like, no money. Emre Gould's not in it. All they did was, like, they signed, like, big money. It was, like, Papali, Tarpanay, and then they got Elliot Whitehead over. But they pretty much just pieced the rest together and picked up players as they could and end up with this amazing pack. We have those pieces in, like, Haas and Pangai. Keep those two, maybe Piakura, whatever. And then figure the fucking rest out. And then keep the good players like Dearden and Walsh and similar. And then figure, like, that's it. I don't know what I'd pay him. But as you said, he does fall in that can't lose basket. But I could accept the loss of him if he gets over $1 million. That's pretty much what it is. Like, because we could probably get somebody similar or better that for that money.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if Cowboys are going to go that high, it's like, whatever is what it is.
But it's just, it would suck to lose him considering, again, they like 2 or 3 years ago, they started being happy to lose like Tana Boyd and whatever because they knew they had Tom Dearden and Ben Hunt as well. Like, come on.
Just at some point, you can't just keep going, we're happy to lose this guy. We've got this guy 2 years away.
Yeah.
Because
the problem with that, mate, is we also pay the next guy anyway.
But, like, we had from, like, oh, it was Nick Arima. We're happy to, like, we've got someone else coming. There was, like, there's always just someone else 2 years away. But then you just end up wasting seasons.
Correct. And good years of players.
From Blake, will Milford stay for less?
I think 100%. I know a lot of Broncos fans don't want him. I still want him. There's still that player in there. We saw it last week. He doesn't want to go anywhere else. He wants to stay in Brisbane with his family. His only other options to stay in Brisbane to play professional rugby, the Titans or the Reds.
Like, this is like a lot of players have like the homes. Oh, I'm homesick when they want to change clubs and just get more money.
Yeah.
And he said he was homesick and, like, yeah, he got more money, but, like, he's one of the ones that I actually believe were homesick.
Yes.
And like as evidenced by the fact that he moved into his parents' basement. Like, so I'm pretty sure he wants to stick around Brisbane still.
But I do like that the ball's a bit in our court there, and he won't get $1 million from anybody. Unless he has a year, this amazing year, he won't get that money from anybody. And even then he probably won't because he's, you know, he's no longer the 21-year-old, you know, breaking through. He's 26, 27. You know, this is what he is. But I think he'll stay. And that's also another thing that people worried about if they keep Staggs and want to move him to six. It's like, well, there's a guy there who might be a better six.
Yeah.
Why do that? Yeah.
Last one on Facebook from Vita. Are we going to stick with Asako at fullback long-term and lose Reece Walsh?
Mate, like, I don't know. I don't think if Reece Walsh leaves, it'd be a choice of ours, if you get me. Like, because I have heard that we've all heard actually, it's in public that stuff, Warriors chasing them. But the Warriors lost two of us to Sheck. They have a kitty, and the Mr. Rebuilder over there and Phil Gould aren't afraid of overpaying someone to get him to come. They're not. So that might just be what happens. And if we lose him, there's not much you can do there. And then Asako becomes the facto long-term one. But I do think Reece Walsh is a great talent. And as you said, Simo, we've been waiting for him for 2 years now too. I don't think you need to force it, mate. You see what happens. Like, that's the other thing, also sucked the last couple of years, mate. We kept forcing the next kitty and it sucked.
I mean, once he goes over to New Zealand and tries some of Mrs. Brown's butter chicken, that's the end of it.
He's never coming back. He's gone then.
Righto. So over onto Twitter now from Smoking Joe 21. This is Joe Blow with a new at.
Yeah.
I'm all aboard the Kevolution. We were dead set morals until if those injuries didn't happen. Speaking of which, have we changed our strength and conditioning team from last season? Needs to be addressed.
We have, mate. And it's not even that. So Andrew Kroll's still there and he's got promoted, but they've also had the return of another one of the guys who worked there underneath Wayne. It's John Paul Kaya is up there now too. They've had the analyst has moved on. They had a new analyst in there. So Demis Wong's gone. Zach Crang's a new analyst. So that Asian person people saw in the box who used to ask who the Asian was, well, he's gone. Peter Nolan's still there. Recruitment. He's done a great job somehow to keep his job after being a part of all this mess. But pretty much it's the rest of it's kind of rotated over. So it's all changed. And strength and conditioning is not we focus on stupid game speed stuff at training. But that didn't stop Coates doing what he did. Didn't stop Asiata's nerve thing. And didn't stop Matt Lodge's hammy, unfortunately. Can't always stop it all.
That Coates one, like, it looked like... Because he landed the first somersault. Yeah. And it just looked like he was trying to do the same. But then, like, the collision with Gutho, like... just made him face plant.
Yeah.
And it's like, mate, just slide into the corner like every other winger.
He's had a bit of bad luck so far, hasn't he, old coach with injuries there? But yeah, it's all pretty much the staff has all changed by head of recruitment, Pete Nolan, pretty much.
From Xavier Coates, oh, Xavier Goats. That's going to trip me up.
Yeah.
Who is holding the gun to the players' heads asking them if they want to be Broncos for life?
Yeah, God. At least they're saying it, though. That's the thing. At least they're saying it. It's dumb the club is reporting it. The media can report dumb the club is, but at least they're saying it for once.
Also, for Pierre, is it nice to be the best side in Queensland again?
It didn't take long.
from Buttsy 888, what is your favourite Jake Turpin? Also, talk more about Jacob Turpin. Jake Turpin.
Okay, well, Jake Turpin, I've got no Turpins, but yeah, he's one of those guys. We've all been fans of his work and he was good in this game, but I still worry. And I actually, it offends me that Gordon Taylor came to the same conclusion I did, but the club has let Gordy back in. So maybe I have to let Gordy back in too, but same conclusion that he throws himself in way too hard into contact too often. And that's how you end up getting hurt as a small fella. It's like, it's great to see him smash people sometimes. Hey, but it's like, dude, when you're like that small, you have to make like 40 tackles a game. Maybe like don't always smash someone. Maybe do the smarter thing of why good hookers play forever. Sometimes just don't smash the bloke. Like, but I'm a fan of his work. It's refreshing to see a hooker with energy that's not Andrew McCulloch. That's why I couldn't give a fuck. If he gets injured and whatever, we play Kobe Heathington and Corey Pakes and they suck, I don't care. As long as McCulloch doesn't play for us again, I'm happy at the moment.
I thought... Turpin had a couple of passes that weren't great and were kind of like behind, mainly Croft. Yeah, so it's probably Croft's fault more than Turpin's. But a lot of his passes to Milford and Asako, like he had a lot of good service in this last game we watched.
Mate, a couple of kicks too. He seems to be evolving his game a little, huh?
It was definitely like you can definitely cop a couple of bad passes when the majority of them are good. Whereas from McCulloch, it was every pass was to where the player was standing, not where they're about to be standing.
The worst thing ever was when we used to run that left-hand side shape on the goal line, and then you'd see on the Milford have to do like that jump and catch behind him on the first pass. It's like, well, we're not scoring off this one, are we?
Nah, this play's done. Just like, we might as well just swing it right and see what's over that side.
It's like those plays only were executed to perfection to the fucking millisecond, and then they fuck up the first pass. You're like, well, Milford's going to like dance back infield and then stand still and look like the idiot. But yeah,
his fault. Then like your dad down the pub is like, ah, that Milford is too dark skinned to be doing that. From Pythago NRL. Wow, I can't read. I think I'd like the Broncos more if they won more regularly instead of losing. Thoughts?
Yes, well, I'd like the new attitude of at least trying.
Yeah, it's a step up.
It was a step up. Maybe we'll get wins soon.
Also hearing a lot of buzz around this Tom or maybe Tim Dearden fella. Reckon he can take the 7 from Brody's iron grip.
You could hope so. Oh, yeah, but he's got his Queensland Cup game this week. Well, South Logan are going to be a pretty strong side to start the year. Oates there, Carmichael's there, Albert Kelly's there, Dearden's there. It's a good team. But we'll see. Maybe Hunt can come play 7. I'm okay with it.
I need you to hook me up with some Carmichael Hunt highlights.
Yeah, oh, mate, they'll be coming thick and fast. Don't you worry. Well, it's 2 Queensland Cup games on TV this year. Well, sorry, streamed this year, so.
I assume there'll probably be too many highlights to just send over Twitter. There's just too many gigabytes. So.
Yeah, mate. Can you put full 80 on Twitter? I'm pumped to see him play again, hey? I mean, there is the longest of shots he ever plays first grade again, but, mate, there's still a shot.
Oh, man. If Carmichael Hunt plays for the Broncos again, Twitter is going to need to buy bigger servers because I'm going to get back on Twitter for the first time in about 2 years and it's going to be some gronking. From Warwick Ahern, 0-0. How much of a slap in the face is it that the Broncos are 7.5-point underdogs to a Titans team that could barely string together an attacking set last week?
Oh, mate, I tell you what, someone got used to us being like shit odds. Like, I know he sucked last year, but I saw like $3 something. It's like, what the fuck happened to the Broncos? With $3, no, we're $2.75 now.
I think we're a victim of just like every time people put out their like ladder predictions, it's just the same ladder predictions as last season with 2 teams moved.
Yeah, Titans up.
Yeah, yeah. And like it was the same on your Boom Rookies podcast in the Rabbitohs one when who's the old mate that got on with Bungard?
And he's, Phil Ludite.
Yeah, and he's going on about like Broncos and morals for the spoon. And it's like, mate, I want to just punch you in the throat right now. Like,
yeah, I didn't listen to that podcast for the good reason.
Oh, man, I wanted to fight this guy.
Well, I did see a known Twitter moron. I won't name him, but he put out there like Broncos $1 should be a like, great value at $2.50 for the spoon. Should be $1.60. It's like, mate, I would bet you the if you want $1.60 for the spoon, I'll take the field for $2.50. Easy. I'll give you, we'll put a grand on it. It's not happening.
Yeah, like we said before, there's just too much talent in this squad for a team that is just enjoying football. They're going to win more than 4 games and they're going to avoid that spoon.
Teams rarely repeat the spoon outside of when they're like nearly the worst of all time, which is the Knights period there. But before that, it was a long time too. It's like, it doesn't happen, mate. It won't happen here. But as you said, people's ladder prediction generally is like they leave 14 of the same and move like 2.
Yeah. And that they'd like to only move 1, except by moving 1 up, you've got to move another down. So,
I mean, and people saw Manly play last weekend and the Dragons and whatever, and they think we lost the spoon.
There is some bad football sides out there. So, Mitch_S_.
Mate, you've got the right amount of underscores. You check that?
Well, I think so.
Good, mate.
Let's assume in some way we could get rid of one of our bad contracts, but the condition is that you also have to let one of our stars go. Who are the 2 players you'd let go?
Well, I just told you, Gattoni's the one of the ones I'm trying to keep that I'd lose, and people are getting mad at me again, but whatever. Here we go. But how many bad contracts do we have left, though?
Yeah, but see, this probably isn't the worst contract itself, but if you get, I'd just get rid of Croft.
Yeah, it's 2 years left. On his, isn't
it's
it?
It's not like it's not the worst contract, but just to get rid of Croft.
No, I got mine. It's Matt Lodge.
Carrigan.
No, Matt Lodge. I would say Carrigan. Lodge has, remember they announced it's a 3-year deal. Turns out it's a 5-year deal because he has 2 player option years.
Oh, yeah, good one.
With that guy's history, they gave him 2 player options. But anyway, that's who I'd get rid of. He's like 700K a year, whatever. Even if he does somehow turn it around, he's 2 years of injuries and we can live without him. That's the one. And then I'd you know, let Cotone Staggs go to do that. Who else of our stars? I mean, how many stars have we got here? Like 3?
Yeah. And we don't have Din yet, so you can't even count him.
Yeah, that's it. So, yeah, I think that's it.
From Marshall23_, rank these asset bubbles from most irrational to still very irrational. Dutch Tulips, Top Shot, or inexperienced young forwards graduating from the Broncos system.
Oh. Well, I mean, the ceiling on those Broncos ones is all the next Sonny Bill Williams. So that's a good investment.
I think Top Shots is still above that.
As an NBA Top Shot, not an investor, as a man who put money in and printed money out, I didn't get to take it out yet. Just easy. Buy a pack and got heaps of money out of it. Yeah, it's good. I don't know what it's doing, but...
I've not looked into it myself after Bungard told me to make an account, which I did, and then I've not bought anything. But you guys are all like, all your cards are like $400 and I don't have that much money to just dump in it to begin with.
But so. I didn't buy them for that though. Like
your first card was cheaper.
So I bought my first pack was $14. I finally got one and it had a $700 card in it.
Yeah. So then after that, you're just essentially playing with like house money, credit.
The issue it has now is that, and this is why I'm trying to get rid of everything I can. But the issue is that they obviously didn't plan on getting this big. They grew too fast, too big, too fast. And what they've got is an issue. I think it's like 5 guys in a room who run the website. Like it's like nobody. But they don't have enough people set up to withdraw because they have to verify everyone's information to like, you know, you're allowed to withdraw money. You've gone through and checked your government license, whatever. So only like there's like 300,000 people on it, but only like 10,000 have withdrawal ability. So what it is, it's a closed ecosystem currently. If money just keeps going in and money can't come out.
Yeah, well, so if you're in it though, if you're happy though to wait to withdraw, you're just going to make bank because there's just more and more money going into the system.
Well, that's it. So I bought that $14 pack and made that. Then I also got into the queue and won because there's a queue like 100,000 plus people go in the queue. They randomize the order. And the top, like, whatever, 20,000 would get a pack, for example. Anyway, I got in. I bought a $200 pack USD. I didn't realize I could get money out at that point because I put 200 USD in, which is, like, 250 Aussie now. Did make, like, 700 USD out of it, but now that money just sits there. And it's fine. I'll get it eventually. But the annoying thing is when your money just sits there, it's really hard. And obviously anyone listening can say, oh, no, it's not hard. But it is actually hard to not then put it on other cards because you've seen them bang. You've seen your cards bang?
Yeah, but you're also likely to just buy some stuff that don't bang.
That's it. Well, I have turned some others into profit, but I've had a few occasions where I bought something and then it's gone up a little, but it's like I bought and sold, lost a 5% transaction fee and made like, oh, I made $10. Yay. But I think it's more so I do the actual NBA cards and stuff. And when I get one of those cards, obviously I hold ones I want to hold. I sell some quickly. Like, for example, NBA Hoops 2020-21 came out this week and I'm selling shitloads because, like, right now it's hype. People are buying good cards shit cards are good money. But in a few weeks, those cards are worth, like, $2 or $3 that I'm selling for $10 to $20. Not the same large scale as shit, you know? So I can't, but it is fucking, it's a bit of a downer to go from turning 14 into 700 to then turning 30 into 40 when it's on Top Shot.
Yeah, you know? I would, especially then you got to, like, I would not even be doing that because then you got to put it in a top loader and then you got to go to the post office.
Mate.
And then you got to ship it to some guy in Perth or something.
Well, you probably see some of them are there, but that's the hard part about it, mate. That, like, obviously doing manual, like, hard cards, trading cards, the fucking shipping, man. But that's why I'm also, because I keep doing it and I'm dedicated. That's why I've made like $6,000 on eBay since the start of the year doing it, flipping cards. And I hold some for long term. But so many people can't be fucked to do the effort. That's why I make money, because I can be fucked to do it. I bought 200 padded mailers off eBay. I ordered, you know, 200. I spent way more on stamps. Ordered all these stamps, pack them at night, send them. That's it.
Nah, I got other stuff I put that amount of effort into. I don't have time for cards.
Oh, mate, it does get
Pokemon cards.
It does get difficult, but yeah, Top Shot, mate. One day it's all gonna the day everyone can take their money out. It's fucked. So I don't want to leave. Half my money in there is in cards, half is in my balance. I've still got a profit sitting there, but I keep monitoring the verifications because one day the speed's gonna start picking up. They're gonna start verifying more people, and that's the day fucking sell. Like get rid of all my shit. And get it into liquid funds and then take all the money out. And it'll probably keep growing after that, but there's definitely a massive dip coming the day they start speeding.
The day everyone can just pull their money out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you remember Spreadshirt?
Yes.
We still have like $38 in that account.
Killing it, mate. Better than bank interest.
We sold like four shares. One was to you, two was to me, and one was to Harry Ramage.
Because Tao Tao signed for the Knights like a week later.
Yeah. So Harry, we did a blue shirt and Harry Ramage, like a blue and red one, and Harry Ramage bought it.
Yeah, I mean, that was unfortunate. I've had bad experiences there, both with this and with these Redbubble for Boom Rookies. And we're actually doing Boom Rookies merch this year, but we're getting it produced. My sister's doing it. Like, she's got a cricket machine, whatever it's called. We've done our stubby holders. You've seen them, Simo, but we're doing shirts. But my issue, once I got Redbubble stuff, like, the stuff that's affordable is just shithouse quality.
It is.
Like, I got a Super Late Lure Bros one pair from Boom Rookies, and it cost me, like, $30 or whatever. And the print quality on it and whatever, it wouldn't have been a $5 t-shirt at Kmart. You know, it wouldn't necessarily, like, well, fuck that. So we're just going to do it ourselves and do it, like, buy better quality shirts, do them more simple, and then sell them. Not even looking for actual profit. It's just sell them so our fans can fucking represent our shit. That's all it is. But
shirt was pretty good quality.
Yeah. Redbubble, people like it a lot, but the color printing shit. The other things, I got stickers and stuff in them that are awesome.
People only like Redbubble because it's the most well-known brand.
Yeah. Yeah,
people just heard more about that one than the others.
Yeah, I mean, for them, like Redbubble, the other stuff I got done there was great. The shirts suck, and that's the thing that I wanted the most. So I've got like stickers and a mug and whatever that are great. But yeah, anyway, any more questions, Simo? We're just shooting this shit now.
Oh, we got heaps more still.
There we go.
From Cameron Anker, it's been four times we've posted players want to stay at our club. If you include the latest one by Tessie, why are we announcing this without actually signing the players? Surely we just get it done.
Well, Tessie was the one that wasn't announced by the clubs. But was it what Stags did and who's the other one the club announced? I forget now, but they were, yeah, not great. Not great. As you said, just get it done. It gets embarrassing at some point, but that's how much they want good news.
From Malak 4991, will you still be recording with someone on delay and constantly talking over one another? If not, I won't listen. Also, should Oates be selected as a bench player to be a rotation forward as well as cover for outside back injuries like we saw on Friday night?
He should earn his spot and then he'd be good in that role. I think that's where he should be, but he should earn his stripes as a forward until he gets to play there. Go back and bitch in Queensland Cup about not wanting to play that grade. But talking over each other, I think it's been better this time because we haven't got that weird bit of delay we had on Zencaster in the past. We had it for years.
We've also got video set up now, which is pretty cool.
In the past, we had this weird issue, mate. People might not know. We couldn't figure it out for the last like year. Doesn't matter what we recorded on, and maybe this will be the same after. We'll find out after. But our audio files will be different lengths.
Yeah, like it was like they recorded a different frame rate, like for want of a better word. It was weird. But as far as Oates, like, I mean, he probably is not going to be happy with that or whatever, but like, if teams wanting to play four forwards, that would be actually a pretty good option for him to be able to cover either or of those positions.
Yeah.
From Harvey G, what does the goo taste like to you?
The what?
The goo.
The goo
feasting.
Oh, that goo. I was more stuck on last week when Campo called Cam Smith the goo. not the greatest.
Liam Patrick also asked how long until Croft is replaced, which we've covered. Darren W006, g'day boys. My question is, how helpful are Talis' comments about Terps hitting bigger blokes than him in half when we know he's injury prone, expected to play 80 minutes with no backup nine on the bench? And secondly, why is the answer to the number one Brandon Smith?
So the Talis stuff, I mean, he's been let back into the club, so now he's no longer, they're not actual pot shots, it seems like. It seems like mostly genuine things they've talked about. And I agree with those concerns. Brandon Smith, I'd love Brandon Smith, because not only because I think he's a good player, but also think he's fucking hilarious. And it doesn't always matter, but it's nice sometimes to have one of those players on your team who's just a funny motherfucker. But I do think he seems Gold Coast bound. What can you do?
Yeah, I guess if Harry Grant is going to take over full-time at the Storm, like, Brandon Smith's going to want to go somewhere else after that. Like, but, yeah, whatever. From Fresh, are you taking memberships to the anti-Pat Carrigan Club? If so, can I please join?
So I've noticed you read out the amount of underscores in one handle. Didn't read out the number of S's in Fresh.
I did a long Fresh.
I know. I'm talking shit. We're taking memberships. We're getting expressions of interest. we're not a club yet. The club, we're talking about a committee. We're talking about a club, but we're just hopeful. With expressive interest, send those in. And if this keep, and they're still not playing 80 in like 5 or 6 weeks, we'll start the club up.
I mean, like, this is a bit back, but with all of my spare time from not now looking after Tau Tau Moga Island, I've got plenty of time to be running an anti Pat Carrigan club.
Good.
From underscore Matt one, when do you think the Broncos will make a call on Milford/Croft experiment, and why isn't Scott Drinkwater in the Broncos radar as a potential replacement for Milford?
I believe Drinkwater is on the radar, but I don't think he's going anywhere. But also, I'm a Drinkwater fan, but as a fullback, he is the worst defensive half of the modern era when he plays in that defensive line, and I don't feel like I'm exaggerating that take at all. Go watch him defend last year. He's one of those halves that shoots 20 meters infield for no reason. Like, what the hell is he thinking? One of those guys.
Worse than Nikorima.
Yes, Nikorima's got better. Nikorima wasn't exactly out of position. He's just a midget. Like, he can't help that, how small he is. But when Drinkwater was like one of those guys who just like shoots up at no space for no reason, I hate those kind of defenders. Ugh.
Last one here then from RCG Kennedy. that wanker Gary isn't on, so I might actually listen to this one.
Oh, here we go. You read that because you're on. Right. Listen, RCG Kennedy, just because Chris Gary blocked you because of your nonsense doesn't mean you come in here with your nonsense. Anyone who sends Chris bullshit deserves to get blocked. That's it. He hasn't got enough time for your crap. And I mean, again, if you didn't, like, that's the thing, got blocked but wants to be unblocked. Yeah, pest then. If you like, wouldn't care if you didn't like him, would you?
Oh, there's the indoor cricket team ringing me.
There you go.
Yeah, that was the last one.
That's it, mate. But yeah, I do like, and he's getting put on blast now. So you hit my DMs to ask Chris to unblock him. And look, it's not happening. Obviously, it's not going to happen, but it's like, you know, I get like, just because Chris Gary comes on the podcast and I don't get along with him, doesn't mean I have going into his DMs unblocking privileges for random people.
I think, you know, Chris would do it if you asked.
I know, but then it's like, he's not the only person who asked. He's the only one who's getting named because he tweeted that in. I had a few people ask that, or people, oh, I listened to him on Boom Rookies and he wasn't a douche. I thought he was a douche because he blocked me. It's like, no, you're a douche because you were in his mentions talking shit. Then he blocked you.
Okay. You gotta talk shit about him and not add him, and then he doesn't block you. That's what my move was.
Exactly. He's not a name searcher, so it's fine. But that's it. You know, I can't ask everyone to unblock them. I have people ask me to get Campo to unblock them, and I because he's a random blocker too. And I did do it once for one guy, and Campo didn't appreciate it. He's like, I don't know what I blocked him for, but he definitely deserves it. So like one of those normal people in rugby league on NRL Twitter, he's just like, nah, not do it. Like, okay, so I used my one card and it didn't work.
There was one person I asked to be unblocked was Wes from the ATN podcast.
Yeah.
And because I got blocked for calling him there was some big backwater hick type insult because from where he's from. And he blocked heaps of people, but he was on like Reddit, did an AMA once. And he's like, if anyone's a cool person who wants me to unblock them, like just reply to this thread. And there's just like hundreds of people. and he unblocked me. And then I was like, I never replied to him because I didn't want to be blocked again because I actually didn't mind his, you know, football opinion. Yeah. And then he died. So that's that. But, yeah.
And then life blocked him.
Yeah.
Very sad.
That's a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well,
I'm like 82 episodes behind in that podcast, but I listen to them all in order because I like whatever.
Mm.
But, and then like it came up on Instagram the other day, like a photo his wife put up with the kid and that. And I was like, man, that just like messed me up for the rest of the day. I was like,
I did, mate. It's one of those podcasts that's very good at bringing you into feeling like you're one of them and whatever, and into up the kimono, as they say. So, yeah, it did.
Well, I like the bit I was up to in the podcast, he like hadn't got cancer the second time yet. So, like, I wasn't expecting it to like come, but yeah, that was.
Yeah, I'm not a cancer expert. My mum's had it twice. She had breast cancer twice, so she did live the second time. They caught it really early, but when he announced he had cancer again, and I hadn't listened to much the last couple of years, and this is not a shot at Wes because of course you wouldn't be the same person going through what he went through, but I couldn't really listen because he'd obviously been a bit more joyless, you know, and he wasn't as a happy person. Whatever, that's just a reality of it. I didn't enjoy his podcast as much in that period. But he came back on and his first thing he said is it's spread. And okay, we'll count the time then. It's unfortunate, but yeah, once you hear the terms, it's spread.
Yeah,
that's it. It does suck, mate. But yeah, I was shocked by how much it impacted me because I was expecting just one day he'd be gone because of that, but it did impact me as well. And it's also weird because it's like podcasting is only really a thing we've done for the last decade or so. It's weird to think of someone in that frame has impacted my life and made me upset.
Yeah, I mean, like in the end, they're just like basically on a news show you listen to, but like just it's not just that, I guess, that they talk about their own personal lives, but also how they do it. And like, you know, they talk about their baseball and like going way back to the start of the podcast, it was like Wes was like, I'm never getting married and all this sort of stuff. And then he's like gone on and he like found this person, he got married, and then he had a kid, and then it's like, and then he dies when this kid's like a year old, and you're just like,
yeah, it's tough, man. And yeah, they all chat. Anyway, it was one of those very good shows that whilst it was NFL banner, it still is a great show. It's on the NFL banner around the NFL. It does feel like a mates in a room podcast, and that's why it's always been good. Plus, yeah, it has the good takes in it. But the main point is, we're getting back to, if you don't want to get blocked by someone on the internet, don't respond to them. Even if you like. Don't even have to be an actual dickhead. Don't be a smart ass or even that stuff, because you don't know what day that person's having either. They just could have got 100 shit tweets in response. They're just going, you know what? This guy never adds to my Twitter experience. Bye. That's all it is.
Oh, I've definitely had some super soft blocks by some people, like by me blocking people. And it's just like, you just have a bad day and you're like, this person is an idiot. I like literally just block people because they have a dumb football opinion. And I'm like, this person is making my timeline worse. Just block. Just like, I'm never hearing from them again.
I only have like two people blocked. I don't have any blocked anymore, but I'm on private. It's different. I already create my experience, curate it. Like, I don't let you follow me if you annoy the shit out of me.
That's yeah, I have a lot more than two blocked.
Yeah, I think it's, or maybe it's one, was it one or two. And my blocks was more so back for when I was public. It was just this one person would just like respond to all of my tweets, and it wasn't funny. Like, they weren't even really making jokes. They were just like, yeah, just it's annoying. I was like, you know what? I'm done with this. I don't want to keep seeing them in my replies. Anyway, we probably should wrap it up, mate. We could keep talking about random podcasts and internet blockings for a while. This is Broncos Weekly back to its roots. 25 minutes. About anything but the Broncos at the end of the podcast.
It's like, it always seems here like some podcasts, the more effort people put in, the better they go. This one, the less effort we put in, the better it seems to go. Like, at some point, don't be surprised if we just drop the intro and outro music. And we just start talking.
We talk about the Broncos get touched on at some point.
In fact, we'll probably just live record just a video call. We don't even record our own ends and put them together. We just run audio files and upload that.
That's it. I've been speaking to Bunga for Boom Rookies. We've been contemplating doing other podcasts on the feed. You know, some podcasts you'd follow, they have like three or four different podcasts under the one feed. And we're like, yeah, can we just like talk shit? Is that a podcast? It's like, well, not really, but maybe.
I mean, it's a podcast. People don't have to listen to it.
You put it back on the listeners. You don't have to listen if you don't.
No, but like for real, like if people don't want to listen to, because you can do also on with Acast, you can do different like cover art, right?
Yeah, yeah. So that's what we do, a different cover art for
it. It'd be super obvious what's what. And then he's like, I don't like that podcast. I'm just going to skip like these guys talking about the NFL.
Yeah.
You did that for like NFL Boom Rockies, didn't you?
Yeah. And I did it for, we put Broncos Weekly on there. Maybe more of those are dropped this year. When the Broncos win, we'll put Broncos Weekly on the Boom Rockies feed.
Yeah.
Nobody can stop me.
Yeah. Because like, you all hate listen when we lost. And now you're going to listen when we win.
Oh, exactly right. You're only getting the winning ones going on the feed. I might do that. That'll show them all.
Oh, man. When we beat the Tigers in round 9 or whatever.
Yeah.
There you go, mate. Got no that, one, Simon.
Yeah. No, everyone said we'd go 0-9. They said, they couldn't say, they said we couldn't win. We couldn't go 1-8. Here we are.
None of you believed in us. Kevolution, baby.
And Tom Dinder said he wanted to stay. He didn't sign, but he said it. Gotcha.
So I look forward to him going to the Titans in 3 years' time.
God. Well, I mean, well, I guess the comparison for Tom Dearden, if we lost him, could be Ash Taylor. And if Tom Dearden goes to the Cowboys, has one good year, then sucks forever, I can live with it.
Yeah, I still believe in Ash.
So do I. Come home, Ash. If we lose Tom Dearden.
Yeah. I just think he'd still be a good player in a good team. Yeah. Like you just can't tell me if you put him on the Storm that he wouldn't be the Ash Taylor everyone expected him to be.
But I feel like you could apply that to like 20 halfbacks that aren't Brody Croft.
Yeah, but see, like that was always my point though, that when we had Wayne here, I think Ash would have been the Ash we all wanted.
Yeah.
And just because he went to the Titans and he played under that basket case, like of course he didn't turn out the way everyone thought.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, we should wrap this up. I can't remember how we say goodbye in this show anymore. That's how long it's been. We just say, I'm done. And you're like, yeah.
Catches. I think, something like that. I don't know.
It was something like, it was like a mixture of goodbye, but it wasn't just goodbye. It was like a whole thing.
Yeah, I'll see us in probably 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, see you next quarter for next quarter episode of Broncos Quarterly.
Yep, see ya.
We're the Broncos, the mighty Broncos. We keep fighting every second till the end. We're the Broncos, the greatest team on earth. We're the heart of all Queensland. Never stop, we never rest. On and on, we beat the best. Never giving up, we beat Maroon and Gold. For the league, we risk it all. Miles above, we're standing tall. We're the finest and the greatest of all.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.